It's good to see everyone here this morning. As Brother Sharp mentioned, we're going to be talking about happiness this morning. And, you know, I have met people in my life, my short life compared to many of you, I have met people who are just miserable with themselves. They're just not happy. And often we hear people who are like that say something like this: I would be happy only if I had, or if I did, or if I was. I'd only be happy if. And that, you know, you can fill in that blank with something. Maybe it's in your own mind about what it would take for you to be happy. I'd only be happy if. I want us to think about this morning. What would it take for you to be happy? Now, we as Christians ought to be happy. And there are some principles, some fundamental things that I want us to talk about. But all of us, in one way or another, have hectic lives. We're all busy. We all have seemingly things, our candle burning at both ends and in the middle, all at the same time. We're all busy. Now, those who are young, who are going to school, you know, you have a lot of things to work out every day. You have things to think about every day. People who go to work every day, I mean, you have your job to deal with, but then those of you who are married, guess what? When you get home, you have a home to deal with. You have children to deal with. You have all kinds of things every day to deal with in your life. There's always something. Always something. And when you think, finally, I'm caught up, I can breathe and I can rest, guess what happens? Something. Something always happens. Never fails. I understand that. God understands that. We are people who live lives that are hectic so often. But I want you to know, friend, God wants you to be happy. God wants me to be happy. Now, let me put a disclaimer right here at the top of the lesson this morning. Many people will argue for things that are unscriptural and unlawful by saying, well, you know, I think God just wants me to be happy. And I want to do this because, you know, this is what will make me happy, and I think God just wants me to be happy. Maybe it's an unlawful marriage that you are in, or you're wanting to enter into, and you're thinking, and you're trying to reason within your own mind. Well, God only wants me to be happy. God does want you to be happy, but being happy will not occur if you enter into an unlawful relationship or something that is sinful. That is not going to bring you true happiness. It's not going to bring true joy. True joy can only be found in doing what God wants. Let's make that point very clear. But God does want you to be happy. And that's why He has provided His instructions for us in this book. That's why He has revealed to us how we can find true joy and true happiness. All the passages that you see there, we're not going to read them all, but they go along this line. Let those that seek God rejoice and be glad. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into song and rejoice. Be glad and rejoice with me. Over and over again we have that expression found throughout Scripture. We ought to be happy. Those who follow and serve the Lord should be happy people. If you're not happy and you're a Christian, there's something wrong with your Christianity. And why are so many people unhappy? Well, in Matthew the 6th chapter, verses 25 through 34, you know, Jesus says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will put on. And as he goes throughout this text, he's talking about things that we worry about. And many times we bring our unhappiness upon ourselves because we worry about things over which we have absolutely no control. We are worried about things over which we cannot change, we cannot control. We cannot change our hair turning gray. We cannot change our hair falling out. There are some things we cannot control. So learn to be happy with the things that you have. But we want to control things. We want to be people who are in control. And I understand that, but we need to trust something. We need to understand God is in control. And that all things will work out for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. We need to understand that God is in control, and that's okay. And be happy with whatever happens. From the standpoint of, okay, as I get older, my hair turns gray, my hair may fall out, I may get a tire around my belly, and I need to work. No, there's nothing wrong with doing what I can to improve my looks or improve my state of health and do what I can. But I need to learn not to worry and fret over things over which I have no control. And the person who can accomplish that, The person who masters that, friend, you know what? He's happy. He's happy. Why are so many unhappy? Because they forget or they fail to be content with what they have. A spiritual mind is a happy mind. Turn with me back to Matthew chapter 5. You were there a moment ago, I hope, as Cooper was reading through this text. But you know what the word blessed here in this text means, don't you? This term, blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those, listen to this, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? For your reward is in heaven. You know, the person who is unhappy is a person who is nearsighted, spiritually speaking. He is a person who is failing to look beyond this life. You find me an unhappy person, and I will show you a man who is failing to look beyond this life. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. We need to develop a spiritual mind. A spiritual mind is a happy mind. Over in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, and verses 6 through 9. We're going to be doing some studying in a little bit from the book of Philippians, so you may want to go ahead and take your book marker or something and stick there, because we're going to be coming back to Philippians quite a bit. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing." Wait a minute. Be anxious for nothing. That's what he said. Don't worry about anything. That's what he's saying. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." What you're doing is you're putting your life in somebody else's hands. Somebody's hands who can control things. Somebody's hands who has control over all things. Put your life, put your substance, put your possessions, put everything you have in the Father's hands. That doesn't mean that everything's going to go the way that you want it to go. But it does mean that whatever happens, you can be secure in knowing you placed your life in God's hands. "And the peace," notice what he says in verse 7, "and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your minds, or your hearts and minds, through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you." A spiritually minded person is one who considers what God says, follows what God says, trusts what God says, trusts God. You're going to find a person that's happy when you find a person that does that. True happiness, there are some things in life that true happiness, that does not provide true happiness. True happiness cannot be found in certain areas. And people who think, if I only won the lottery, or if I only had this great inheritance come from some rich relative, if I only were rich, if I only were powerful, if I only had this or that, I would be happy. In living to obtain things under the sun, you will never find, never will you find true happiness. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. Book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Solomon writes some very important things for us to consider. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. "I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with myrrh. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. But surely this also was vanity. I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? It's like sauce. It's not the food. It's like the sauce. True, you know, having a good time, having your emotions uplifted, that's like having a good sauce, but it's not really the food that you're wanting to eat. Verse 3, I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of man to do under heaven all the days of their life. I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and of the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my reward from all my labor. What was his reward? Then I looked on all the works that my hands had made, and on the labor in which I had toiled. And indeed all was vanity, and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. You know what? When a person who lives his life accumulating things, when he lives his life especially for the purpose of accumulating things and possessions, power, money, wealth, fame, what does he have when he gets to the end of the road? What's at the end? He's lived his life to build himself an empire. What does he have at the end of the road? Well, he has the same thing that this certain rich man had in Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 13 through 21. All of his fields, they brought forth plentifully. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out and I am going to build myself bigger barns because of all the things that I have gotten. I'm going to build myself bigger barns, and then what am I going to do? I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, and I'm going to have a great time. What did God say about that man? God called him a fool. That's what God called him. He had lived his life to acquire things, and he came to the end of the road, and what did he have? He had nothing. That's what he had. Because he couldn't take a bit of that with him when he left. In Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke chapter 12. Of course, Jesus precedes this particular story with this warning. Verse 15. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. Your life is not made rich and wealthy and happy based upon what you have in this world, physically, temporally speaking. That does not bring true success. It certainly doesn't bring true joy and happiness. But as the story goes on, this man says, I will do this and I will do that. Verse 18, so I said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater barns. Build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? Verse 21, and here's the lesson. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The man who lives his life to gain things is living a life of vanity and can never find true joy, can never find true happiness. The wealthy Laodiceans of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. They thought that they were rich. They thought that they had all of these wonderful things, but yet Jesus says, you are poor, you're wretched, you're miserable, and you're blind. They weren't happy. They might have even thought they were happy, but really they weren't happy. And perhaps there are people today who have all these things, who are having a great time in life, they think. But they're really not happy. All of the worldly things that they have possessed, all of the fun that they have had, it's all going to crash down on them one of these days. Rest assured. Material wealth can be a source of many sorrows. We're warned about that. It's not a sin in and of itself to be wealthy. It's not a sin in and of itself to have things. That's not where the sin comes in. The sin comes in when we trust these things. And we use these things as our basis for joy or happiness and peace in life. We do not trust God as we should. We're trusting in our things. That's where the sin comes in. And we need to learn to set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth, as Paul said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. When we truly learn that lesson, friend, we learn happiness. We learn peace and joy in life. Now, happiness cannot be found in seeking to be someone that we are not. To be someone that we are not is to be disingenuous, is to be a hypocrite. To be someone that we are not. In fact, if you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And I want to take note of an individual who... he was not happy. Especially, of course, on the Day of Judgment, when the Lord came and required of him to give an account for what he had done. And as you look, in fact, in verse 24, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Now just think about this. Think about this man. Now here's the one talent man. Okay, we have some other fellows here. We have a five talent man, a two talent man, and a one talent man. And they were given responsibilities based upon their ability. Well, the one talent man, it says he was afraid. Do you see him as being a happy person in his life? He knew that the Lord reaped where he had not sown and gathered where he had not sown. Do you see him as being a happy man? He says, I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Look, here's what you left me with. I don't see him as being happy in his life. But he certainly wasn't happy when the Lord came, and he had to give an account for what he had done. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. And of course we know the rest. He was cast into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 30. Well, the point is that we need to be who we are. If I am a one-talent man, guess what I need to do? I need to use what I have, and I need to use it for the Lord. I need to serve Him faithfully. I don't need to go and hide and bury myself and be ashamed of myself or be afraid because I'm not doing something that somebody else is doing. I need to be doing what I am capable of doing. I need to be happy and content within my own abilities, within my own means of getting things done that I need to get done in my own life. God does not require of me what I cannot accomplish. I need to understand that. But you know, many people today are seeking to be someone that they're not. And we need to learn how to live within our own life. And a person who is seeking that which he cannot be will never be happy. Because what he really is a covetous man. He may not be coveting his neighbor's money. Maybe, though, he is coveting his neighbor's ability, his talents. And such a person cannot be happy. We all have different abilities, and we need to learn to do what we can with what we have. You know, Sunday mornings, we usually, on our way to services, we listen to a radio program. We listen to 760 AM. And every Sunday morning at 8:30, there's a program that comes on out of Conway. And this guy, who's the preacher on this program, he has his wife sing a song. And Michael thinks that I'm torturing him when I turn it up and let him listen. And I guess it could be sometimes referred to as a form of torture. The woman can't sing. I don't know how to say that nicely. She just can't sing. And, you know, we need to learn and realize that our abilities are what they are. And to stay within those. And I know that people like to do certain things, but you know, if you can't do it, don't do it. Don't do it. Get somebody that can do it. Do it. You know, we need to be happy with who we are and what we're able to do. The point is, listen, if you can't sing, you don't need to be a song leader. But you know what? I guarantee you there's something you can do. I guarantee you there's something you need to be doing besides what you want to do that somebody else is good at that you're not. There's something you can do. And of course, this is a struggle, and I'm not here to tell you, well, you can do this and you can do that. We need to look into our own life and find out what we can do, and then do it, and then do it to the best of our ability. Well, that's where the one talent man failed. He didn't do what he could do to the best of his ability. And that's what we need to focus on. Well, some say, well, I'd be happy only if I were over here instead of over there. Or over there instead of over here. You know, we would be happy if we were somewhere else. Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense either. Have you ever heard the story about the traveling young man who was fed up with the town that he was living in and decided he was going to move? So he comes into this town and there's this fellow, old gentleman, sitting on the porch of the community grocery store in a rocking chair. And the fellow pulls up there in his car and he rolls down his window and he says, I want to know, sir, what kind of people live in this town? And the older gentleman said, well, what kind of people lived in the town from where you came? He said, well, they were a bunch of grouches. They were, you know, just a bunch of miserable people, lazy, no good for nothing, just sorry bunch of people. And the old man said, well, same kind of people in this town. So the guy rolls his window up and drives on off. Well, a few days later, here comes another young man looking for a place to live. Pulls up and has the same old man sitting on the same old front porch in the same old rocking chair. And the young man rolls his window down and says to the older gentleman, sir, I want to ask you, what kind of people live in this town? He said, well, what kind of people live in the town from where you came from? He said, well, they're just great. Just a wonderful, wonderful group of people. Wonderful group of people. And he said, well, you'll find the same kind of people in this town. And you know what? That's the way it is. People are people. You think you'll be happier in another church, maybe, because the people here aren't friendly enough. They're not loving enough. Say, if I go to this church, I'll be happier. Well, guess what? You go over there, you're going to find the same kind of people that you find here. Really? That's the way it is. You think you'll be happier in another town. You'll be happier in a big city instead of the little city of Little Rock. Or some people think I'll be happier out in the country. I'm a country boy. I know what that's like. I recognize that. And truth is, I wasn't just real happy living in a congested neighborhood with neighbor on five foot to my left, neighbor 5 foot to my right. I just wasn't real happy about that. But you know what? I was happy and content within myself. I could have preferred a different situation, and now I have a different situation. And that's great, but you know what? We need to learn to be happy wherever we are. We can be happy wherever we are. We don't have to be somewhere else. Lot looked up and he saw the plains of Jordan. And he had a choice. In Genesis chapter 13, verses 8 through 13, he had a choice. Abraham gave him a choice. You take a certain part of land and I'll take the other. Whatever you take, you have first choice. And Lot chose that beautiful plain of Jordan. Was he happy? Did he wind up being happy? You know the story. If you don't know the story, go to Genesis and read it. Go to Genesis 19, read that. Israel, Numbers 13 and 14. You know, they weren't happy in Egypt. And they were complaining to God, and God sent Moses to deliver them from Egypt. And they get out into the wilderness after they have received the law of God. And what do? They start complaining, wanting to go back to Egypt. And then they get to the border of the land of Canaan, and what do? They complain about God promising them this land, brought them to the edge of it, and they start complaining they want to go back to Egypt. They weren't happy anywhere. They didn't want what God had promised them. They didn't want to be where they were. They wanted to be where they came from, in bondage. And a lot of people today are that way. They're just not happy. I don't care where they are. You know, before I move on, I want to say something to you. I have known people who were the happiest people that you'd ever want to meet before they get sick and before they go into the hospital. And you go visit them in the hospital, and guess what? They're still the happiest, kindest, nicest people you ever want to meet. All they're concerned about, you know, the needs and well-being of other people. They're always asking about how other people are. But then you know people that are miserable, that are always complaining and that kind of thing. And then they go to the hospital. Do they get better? Usually not. Usually when they get to the hospital, they're complaining about what the nurses do or not, what they don't do. Or what the doctors do or they don't do. What kind of service they're getting. What kind of food. You know the food tastes like? The food tastes bad. Food tastes bad to that person, I guess, in the hospital all the time. Well, we need to learn how to be happy wherever we are. In anarchy, you know, some people think, well, I would only be happy if I didn't have all these rules and regulations constraining me and keeping me from doing what I want to do. If I only were free from these rules and laws, then I would be happy. But the truth of the matter is, that's not so. Ask the prodigal son. He was living at home under his father's rule. He wasn't happy living at home under his father's rule. He wanted his inheritance and he wanted to go have a good time. Ask him whether he was happy at the end of his road. The lawless. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, these individuals were not following the teachings of the Lord. Well, they were serving in what they thought was good things in the name of Christ. They were casting out demons, doing many wonderful works, doing miracles. But they were condemned. Over in the book of Proverbs, the 29th chapter, verse 18, the Proverb writer says this, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law." People, when they cast off restraint and they do whatever it is they want to do, I assure you, they're going to become miserable people. You want to be happy? Obey God. Submit to His rule in your life. I assure you, true joy and true happiness, as you continue to grow spiritually, will come in and you will be a happy person. I don't have a doubt about that in my mind whatsoever. Abraham Lincoln once said, "People are about as happy as they make up their minds to be." He was right about that. The Roman Emperor Marcus Antonius said, "No man is happy who does not think himself so." Roger L. Estrange, the English journalist, said, "It is not the place nor the condition, but the mind alone that can make anyone happy or miserable." It is not your location. It is not being free from all restraint. It is not being someone that we are not. And it is not having all these possessions that make us happy. What makes us happy is having the proper disposition, the proper attitude toward what we have and toward God. And of course, our attitude towards God is shaped, our attitude towards our possessions is shaped by our attitude toward God. In order to be happy, quickly, I want to point out a few things. And we'll try to make and draw some practical applications from this. In order to be happy, we've already read Matthew 5, verses 3 through 12. In order to be happy, we have to have this character or this attitude. In fact, you can go back and read Matthew 5, 3 through 12 over and over again. And what you're really talking about is the disposition and character of the Christian. That's what you're talking about. And a person who has this disposition or character, he is going to have the proper perspective on life. He's going to have the proper perspective regarding things, regarding relationships. He's going to have the proper perspective regarding where he is in life, all the externals that may come upon him. He's going to be seeing them through the right perspective, through the perspective of faith and trust in God, through the perspective of what is right and true. So we need to have that, and we have our priorities in the right place. If you want to be happy, seek first the kingdom of God. Then what? All these things will be added to you. That's what God says. It doesn't mean we're going to be showered with blessings. It means we'll be showered with the necessities of life. God will give us what we need. And most importantly, God will give us peace of mind and the hope of heaven that is to come. We need to become long-sighted, far-sighted. To be happy, we must have peace with God and with others. Go back to Philippians. I said earlier we're going to go to Philippians and now we are. In the book of Philippians, we find several things regarding peace, joy, and happiness. In verses 2 through 7, we've already read some of this, but I want to read this first section of this text again. Philippians 4 and verse 2, I implore Euodia and implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, and the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I need to have peace with my brethren, with other people, to the best of my ability, according to Romans chapter 12. I need to live, Romans 14, I need to live to the best of my ability with others, but I understand that's going to be conditioned upon them. If there's going to be any enmity, if there's going to be any trouble, it can't be my fault if I'm going to be pleasing to the Lord. I need to do what's right in all cases, but I can't affect what other people do. But when you talk about, for example, Euodia and Syntyche, you know, I kind of get the hint that there were some problems in the past with these people. Well, we need to work these problems out. And what we need to do is have unity and peace with one another. That's going to bring joy and that's going to bring peace. That's going to, as Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Well, we also, though, need to trust God, and we need to have that proper relationship with God. We need to pray, we need to depend upon Him, and that's what that's emphasizing, by the way. If we have that attitude of trust and thanksgiving, gratitude, guess what? We're going to be happy people. Are you thankful for what you have from God? We need to submit to God's pattern. In John the 13th chapter in verse 17, John 13 and verse 17. Jesus says this, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. What does that word blessed mean again? Very happy. Blessed are you if you do them. You want to be happy? Do what the Lord tells you to do. We have people today who are, even among brethren, who are saying, oh, we're under grace and we're not under law. We're not under the law of Moses. We are under the law of faith. We're under the law of Christ. We're under the law of the Spirit. I can give you book, chapter, and verse for all three of those. We are under the law of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must submit to Him and do what He tells us to do. But people want to cast off restraint. In Philippians chapter 4, go back there again if you will. Philippians chapter 4, notice what he says in verses 8 and 9. Finally, my brethren, meditate on these things. He gives you the list there. Verse 9, he says, the things which you have heard or learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and what? The God of peace will be with you. You want to have peace? You want to have joy? You want to have happiness? Well, you do the things that Paul taught, from which we received, and the things we've heard from him through the Scriptures, and the example that's left. Let's do that. We'll be happy. I don't have this particular passage on the list, but turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm not going to take the time to read this. This would be interesting, though, if you would go home this afternoon and read Deuteronomy the 28th chapter in view of what we're talking about. In Deuteronomy the 28th chapter, it says in verse 1, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And you can go on and you can read all the blessings. They're enumerated one by one by one. How would they get these blessings? How would they be truly happy in God? Keep His commandments. That's how. And people today who say that, you know, in order to be truly happy, we need to cast off the law of God, they're missing the boat entirely, and they're really looking for destruction. We need to submit to God's pattern, to be content and to be grateful with what we have. Going back to Philippians chapter 4 once again, Philippians chapter 4 and verses 10 through 12, Paul says this, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, in whatever state I am in, to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Now, that just fits in with what we've already talked about. Paul learned to be happy with little or much. He learned to be happy wherever he was, in prison or somewhere in someone's home preaching the gospel to them. He learned to be happy wherever he was. Why? Because he learned to be content with what he had in the situation that he was in. We need to learn to accept what we have and be content with it. And, of course, fundamentally, foundationally, verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." You know what? It doesn't make any difference what this life throws at me. Doesn't make any difference what comes. I am equipped to handle it, to withstand it, and to even rejoice in the midst of it. Now, what I'm really talking about this morning is not necessarily an emotion of the way that we feel all the time. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that when your children do not obey you, that you're to be happy about that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that when you're sick, you're to be happy that you're sick. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is the disposition of life is one of joy, happiness, and peace. That's what we're really talking about. And I can trust that whatever I do, if I'm doing it to serve the Lord and it's in accordance with His will, His will be done, and I can have peace with that. And I can be content with myself because I've done the best that I could do in relationship with what God wants me to do. And no matter what happens to me in my life, I can sustain myself and be content. In Romans the 8th chapter, a very beautiful passage. Verse 31, Romans 8 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" You know, that's a good question. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Do you want to find happiness? You want to be a happy person? Serve the Lord. Many Christians are, sadly, unhappy. They do not know what it means to have true joy in their life. They're a bunch of grumps. They're a bunch of complainers. We don't need to be like that. We need to be people who are encouraging, enthusiastic about what we do. And I'm not saying that's always easy, because it's not. But that's who we need to be. We need to be people who are positive and we're happy because we're serving the Lord and we know and we trust that the Lord's will prevail. God wants you to be happy. Remember, a spiritually minded person is a happy person. Are you spiritually minded? Are you here this morning and are you focused on the things of the Lord? Are you trusting in Him? Well, are you a Christian? That's the first question that you need to answer. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you've never become a child of God, then you can't be happy in your state. How can you sleep at night? Maybe you just don't know enough of the truth yet. Maybe you just don't know enough about hell yet. Maybe you haven't figured all that out. Maybe you're just blocking it out of your mind, but you need to think about it. And I hope that causes you to be very unhappy, and unhappy enough that you're willing to submit to the Lord to do what He says for you to do. Become a child of God. Because the child of God is the truly happy person in life. You want to know what life is all about? Live for the Lord. And of course, heaven will be your home, because that's where we're all going if we're faithful to Him. You ought to be a person full of joy, peace, and hope. If you're a Christian, a child of God, you ought to be a person who, you know, who's made up his mind that he's going to live for the Lord. And you know what's coming. You know what's coming if you're faithful to Him. That ought to make you happy. You can be happy. I can be happy. We all can be happy no matter what our circumstances, our lot in life. I'm not saying we have to just thoroughly enjoy it, but I'm telling you, we can be happy no matter what difficulties we face. In the truest sense of the word, we can be blessed. We can have peace. Is that something that you want? Is that appealing to you? If you're not a Christian this morning, you can become one. The baptistry is ready. If you're not a child of God, we'll baptize you this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you're willing to turn from sin and serve Him, if you're willing to confess Him, we'll baptize you into Christ this morning. You can be forgiven of all of your past sins. You can be raised to walk in newness of life. And friend, that is a happy life. That's a great life. It's not easy. It's difficult. There are problems. There's suffering. There's persecution. No doubt about that. But in the midst of that, guess what? As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, your reward is where? In heaven. Friend, that's something to be happy about. If you're here this morning, we can help you. Won't you come together and stand and sit?